All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
Sound like you're trying to do a grown-up voice. 2970.
It's like when I was 15 and you're listening to Y106 Continuous Country. We really ought to do another one of those first air check days. But see, the problem is you don't have any first air checks. All you have is air checks from like last year or whatever. Like whenever you, air checks when you started at Fisher. That's all right.
Mm. The first one. No, I was thinking if I had anything from when I was an intern.
That was just a cute pensive sigh. It was sort of like, I wish I had a pony. Rick, one more coin question for Sarah. Does Jeff Gianola look as much like a chipmunk in person as he does on TV? Thank you, Kurt.
No, I've only met him once, and he was just really normal and nice. He was really friendly, too.
Which one's Jeff Gianola? Is he the one that looks like Powdered Toast Man from Ren and Stimpy?
Yes.
Like a huge head?
But the head isn't so big in person.
The television adds 10 pounds to your head. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, he was actually very nice to me and came up and actually knew my name. I was very excited.
All right. See, and here's the thing is I can say this because I don't even really know who he is. And so I can say this. If I ever met him, I couldn't be mean to him anymore. That's the problem. That's the problem with meeting The Ronk. Mark Ronk, I can no longer make fun of his teeth. What are you going to do? He came up and he was totally cool. He was totally nice, completely rolled with the punches, and now I got nothing. It's like the meeting of various DJs here at the CBS Radio Portland, both in my role as talent and in my role as management. I meet these guys who are DJ, and then I can never be mean to them again. I can never again criticize them or their show, because especially, and I won't name names, but you meet some guy, and he goes, he'll be like, hey, Rick, meet, kooky DJ, blah, blah, blah. And I'll say, oh, hey, nice to meet you, FM DJ, and then he'll say, hey, I love your show, I listen all the time. And I always assume, first of all, they're lying to me when they say that. It's like a whole lot of, like, I'm your biggest fan, I have all your records. I always just assume that they're, because I lie to people all the time. Like, I remember, like, when we were working with in the same building as JJ, like, they would bring in these country artists, and I felt like I had to be polite. And, like, the program would be like, hey, meet country artist, Hickey LaStraw, And I'd be like, hey, Hickey LaStraw, I've got all your records. You're a big fan. And I don't know what I was talking about. So I'll meet these DJs sometimes, and they'll be like, hey, I listen to your show. And I'll be like, uh-huh, great, thanks. And he'll be like, I loved that bit you did yesterday where Tim was talking about Fatty Arbuckle. And then it's clear that they really do listen. And then from that point, it's like I can never be mean to them again. Kind of cripples me in a comedic way. I got to quit meeting people. I got to stay in the house and live in a small box and be ferried here in a windowless car that is then surrounded by lackeys and flacks who just bring me in a small safe. And then they open the safe inside my office. And I am released just long enough to do this program, and then they put me back in the safe, and they ferry me back home, where I live in an egg suspended in some sort of embryonic brinal fluid. Anyway, it's the Rick Emerson Show. At the risk of getting Sarah fired from her morning show gig, I beg of you to get the truth of this question that is burning in my brain. Now, I'm going to read you this question, Sarah, but I'm going to read it in such a way that it won't get you into trouble.
Okay, well, I'm not going to answer it.
Oh,
if it's something, if it's something that's going to get me fired.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just going to read it without the appropriate information. I'm going to read an edited version of this question.
Okay.
This question is for Sarah. Is blank as big of a tool as he appears to be? She said yes. If this guy isn't a pompous jerk, then my radar is way off. Please, this is something I must know. Please to answer. You just said yes, so we'll just... Yes, the answer is yes, sir.
I don't know who they're talking about.
Well, do you want me to show you the screen? You have to say it on the air.
Okay.
All right. Is that guy as big of a tool as he appears to be?
I've never met him.
Oh, you've never met him?
No, I don't know. I think he works on a different station.
All right, so Kurt, there you go. That's the answer. She hasn't met that guy. It's 503-733.
Now you wonder who I was thinking about.
I want to know who. Tim Riley will be here in just a moment. We'll go to the city desk. What else do we got? We got the top five Rolling Stones guitar intros coming up. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson. Oh, wait, hold on. Do I have music here? Wait, hold on. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. No, damn it. From film, fever radio.com. It's, Scott Daly, how are you, sir?
I am well.
Hey, so you had a big car drive through the bank.
Yes.
You are an employee, are you not, of Wells Fargo?
I am
indeed. Are you a player at Wells Fargo? Can you fire people?
Well, I can fire one person.
Really? Yeah. You could fire somebody today. You should do it just to demonstrate your power,
oh,
just to make people.
Great.
And then men will fear you.
She's my assistant. She's awesome.
She's a slacker. She's stealing.
I just hired her.
High on coke all the time. Yesterday, I put a guy in a broom closet.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little fire.
All right. So, tell me about this guy in Tiger that drove through Wells Fargo. Now, is that where you work?
No, I work for Wells Fargo, but not at that specific branch.
Okay.
My office is in Montgomery Park. However, I do deal, a lot of my job is dealing directly with the branches. They're the store managers and personal bankers, and it's very weird talking about my career here on the radio. But anyway, the customer, disgruntled customer, I will say, decided he was upset with Wells Fargo and decided to make the front door a permanent drive-through, not once, but twice.
Now, why was he upset with Wells Fargo? And again, I'm sure that whatever his reason is was not sufficient, because I'm sure that you're a fine company who treat all customers with respect. But in his crazy world, like, what was the reason?
I don't know how much.
Is this about free checking?
No, has nothing to do with free checking. And I don't really know how much I can say as far as what's public and what's not.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
This is a yes or no question.
Okay.
This guy who drove the SUV through, is it because of this fiction that the operators are always saying about how your menu options have recently changed, even though they haven't?
No.
Okay.
It had to do directly with his account and the funds or lack thereof.
Oh.
So that's
all right. Now, he drove through twice?
He drove on the way to the bank. He hit a couple cars on the way.
Just like for practice.
A bumper car,
to warm up.
Warming up a little bit, exactly.
Yeah.
And then he drove through the front door at the Tiger branch of Wells Fargo and drove through the front door, hit the row of teller desks. I believe he attempted to do a cookie in the lobby, but I don't think he pulled that off. He pulled out of the lobby, drove back in, and proceeded to knock down the row of banker and manager desks.
Sort of a finish what you started kind of a thing.
Exactly.
So he's really doing like an Elwood Blues for the...
And then he proceeded to run out of the store and across the street and sat on the sidewalk with a big old grin on his face.
Look what I did!
Exactly.
And then the police came and pounded him silly and took him away.
Pounded him silly. He's a big guy. Thankfully, no one was seriously hurt. One of our customers did get injured, some stitches and whatnot. But luckily, no one else was hurt. And it's
you sent me a bunch of pictures.
Yeah, I did. One of my coworkers at that particular branch sent me some pictures.
Am I allowed to post those?
I don't know.
I'm lucky. Glad I asked, because I was just going to do it this morning. Look at these.
They're actually, I believe, they're no different than what was on the news. But again, This is a news program. You're right.
Operating in the public interest, convenience, and necessity.
I sent them to you just to share. So do with them what you will.
Thank you.
So,
all right. There we go. Filmfeverradio.com.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Okay. I knew this was coming.
If I were to ask you if you had actual movies to review today, would I regret it?
No, you wouldn't.
Do you have a movie to review?
I do. It's a DVD that came out this week.
Do you have a new movie to review?
No.
Okay.
But
do you review movies anymore? Do you see films? Do you leave the house?
I do.
Are you floating in a tub of embryonic brine?
Perhaps like that creature in Dune.
Yes,
I am. And actually, again, I've explained this before, but I'll explain it again.
Uh-huh.
We've been off doing, Film Fever's been kind of on hiatus.
You've lost your pull, haven't you?
We've lost the pull, but we recently got the pull back. That sounded weird. I got an email from the representative who represents four major studios, 20th Century Fox, Columbia, TriStar, Universal, and Sony, saying, yes, you are now part of the group again. We're going to start getting screening
passes.
So
you will once again be seeing things.
We're going to start seeing things. We're going to start having movie passes to give away, posters, contests, all kinds of stuff. It's coming back.
And this is you and Aaron Duran from GeekinTheCity.com?
Correct.
So now, what is the DVD that you've got to review this week?
Munich.
Oh, I saw Munich, actually.
Yes, very, very good film. Interesting thing about the DVD. Before, when you start watching the film, there's a selection. You can select an introduction by Steven Spielberg before you see the movie. We chose to watch that, and it was a little disappointing in that it was like Spielberg was almost apologizing for the film. There's really no reason to apologize for the film because... For those of you who may not know, the Munich is about the assassination attempts on the PLO who kidnapped 11 Israeli athletes
at the 72
Olympics in Munich. And Eric Bana leads this group of Israeli assassins to go out and kill the men responsible for the kidnapping. But Spielberg could have easily weighed positive on the side of the Israelis.
It's a pretty, you know, even-handed film.
It
I'll
is.
Give you that.
It really is. He doesn't sway one way or the other. He tells the story as it is.
It's just so long and tedious, though.
I don't think it's long and tedious. I think it went by really quickly, and I thought it was very, very well done.
It was okay. I mean, it's a bad Spielberg film, I'll still take. But okay, it had the Lord of the Rings thing. There was like 8 different endings. It's like, I'm like getting up out of my seat. Okay, it's done. Ah, crap. And I just sit back down for like another 10 minutes.
Really?
And he's all like,
I didn't feel that
then,
at all.
Have I become what I hunted? You know, and I'm like, okay, there's the moral, gotta go. And then it's like, and then he's in the room being interrogated, and then he's talking to his wife, and then he's in a hot air balloon, and then he's, you know, it seemed like the movie never ended.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because I didn't feel that at all. I felt, you know, the ending was coming. I didn't quite know how it was going to end, but interesting. Steven Spielberg is such an interesting filmmaker. On the one hand, he could do films like Close Encounters and Jaws and Jurassic Park. Then he turns around and does a Schindler's List, Saving Private Ryan or Munich, where you've got your Spielberg endings. And here's my example of a Spielberg ending.
So let's all hug.
Well, exactly.
Let's all hug and have golden sunlight streaming down on
For example, AI, okay?
Yeah.
I liked the first 2 hours of AI.
And then there's like a 40-minute epilogue that no one needs!
Exactly. AI, if you haven't seen AI, I apologize. But AI should have ended with the kid underwater.
Right,
in the boat,
waiting for the blue, looking at the blue fairy.
Blue fairy, movie over.
No, but it's just like Kubrick. War of the Worlds should have ended with, like, your kid is dead, deal with it.
Thank you.
And then instead it ended, Daddy, I'm so glad, you know, and we're all vomiting.
And that's what Spielberg does. It's like, oh, it's so annoying.
I'm going to tell
you
this.
But then he does a film like Munich, where he treats it with respect, and he does a fantastic job.
I'm
going
to tell you this. That the worst film Steven Spielberg ever made, and hear me out, is Schindler's List. Not because it's a bad film. It's a great film, but it's because it ruined Steven Spielberg. Because he does the occasional War of the Worlds now, but you know what? It's like, Steven Spielberg was good at movies that were thrilling adventure rides. They were action-packed. They were a lot of fun. Schindler's List, great film, no doubt about it. But you know what it is? He's like the rock band that makes the really, like, ponderous concept record and gets good reviews for the first time ever, and suddenly, let's make every... You know what Steven Spielberg is? Schindler's List is like he's under the bridge, you know? Where it's like you get the hit with the ballad and suddenly, let's do ballads all the time! And now he's just making like Amistad and just all of these films where it's like they're big, sappy,
No, I disagree. Yeah. And here's the reason why I disagree. Because if that was the case, we would not have AI. We wouldn't have War of the Worlds.
Yeah, but...
You know, we wouldn't have the Spielberg Minority Report, The Terminal. We wouldn't have these big summer feel-good blockbuster
films. But I'm
films.
Saying now for every film and like every War of the so Worlds, you got to sit through something like Amistad.
But, well, yeah, you do. But then you get a great film like Saving Private Ryan. You get a great film like
Saving
Munich.
Private Ryan. A great 20-minute film with like a bad 90-minute epilogue
totally
following.
Totally disagree. Yeah. Not only did I love Saving Private Ryan as far as the way the story was rolled out, but it's really a beautiful film. It really, really is. And I like how Spielberg has kind of taken the look for his films and kind of changed the way the images appear on screen.
Here's the only good thing about Saving Private Ryan is that our good friend Siegfried, he has neighbors that irritate him, and so what he does is he turns his huge 18-inch JBL speakers against the wall and plays the first 20 minutes over and over again at maximum volume late at night to bother them.
Well, I guess that's why I forgive his Titanic love for that. But still, you know, Munich is out on DVD. There's a special really nice 2-disc set out there. Watch it. It's really, really, really good film.
Get the Facts of Life DVD set.
You know what else came out?
Get the Life Goes On DVD set.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever get that? Did you pick it up?
I'm getting it today.
All right, fantastic.
Cool.
Don't knock Life Goes On, Sarah. Put your eyes out.
Is that the one with Corky?
Actually, Nate just sent us the song that that Chris Burke sang.
Really? Is it Poison Ivy?
No, it's...
I used to have him going, Poison Ivy!
It's called Eating is Fun, Eating is Serious, and it's all about pizza.
Really?
Can we play it? Song. Yeah, he sent it to you, too.
Fantastic.
But you know what came out on DVD this week?
What? Something else I don't care about? Something else that's pointless and preachy?
You can eat it right now.
What?
Dr. Katz, season one of Dr. Katz.
Oh, Dr. Katz in Squigglevision.
Yeah.
Dr. Katz is not a bad film. Okay, all right. Now, if they just put out Duckman, life would be fantastic.
They haven't yet?
No, that's not what I'm talking about. All right, here's what we got to do. We got to talk, play a song by a retarded person.
Like Corky.
He is not retarded. He had a fabulous... acting career.
There's that
he's a mentally retarded actor.
Well, yes, he's mentally retarded.
Okay.
Just minorly mentally retarded.
He's got more money than I do. What the hell does he care?
And a singing career.
And a recording deal. And a television show. I got nothing.
And the royalties from the Life Goes On DVDs coming out.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't care. You know what? For that much money, look, You could actually make me retarded. You could, I would let you punch me in the face with an iron glove until I was retarded for that much.
Really?
So let me sign the contract. Like, for like $1 billion, I'd let a horse kick me right in the forehead.
I wonder if we could find out how much Corky's contract was for.
What if they let him, what if they let him get a lawyer? Does a lawyer? No. Read it yourself.
You're on
Act
your own.
As your own attorney. What is that number? That's $1 billion. Sign it.
Did you ever watch the show?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I just watched it enough so I could make fun of it. Just enough so I could reference it in the pop culture.
Are you excited about the DVD?
I'm a huge fan. No, I thought
she's
that we
a life
like,
goes wow. on fan.
I really thought that we could like exchange tidbits, like when Corky got married to Amanda and they were going to sleep together for the first time. And they just slept in the bed.
No, you remember that
they slept
movie
in the bed side by side together. It's so cute.
Do you remember like the other sister?
I was going to say the other sister with Giovanna Ribisi and Juliette Lewis. Like, I love you. We're going straight to hell.
Oh, my skin is itching.
I thought it was beautiful.
God. Oh, my skin's actually trying to get off my bones. Jesus, God. And then what was that horrible Rosie O'Donnell thing, too, where she's on the bus and...
riding the bus with my sister?
That's all I
still I have that on my TiVo.
Wearing the different colored Converse. That makes her retarded. Different colored
shoes.
She has
a hat with a flower on it.
You can tell she's retarded because she's wearing a hat with a flower.
And different colored Converse.
Where do you even get different colored? How would you put that together?
I don't know, but I like how somehow that equals mentally enfeebled. Like, if you can't actually act, just mismatch your shoes.
She
and that equals
orange,
retarded.
Too.
Okay,
well. A lot of does that mean Tigger is retarded?
Did you see that kid in the park wearing all the orange? Poor bastard. Retarded. All right. You're wearing some orange, aren't you, today? Isn't that an orange jacket?
No, it's red.
Uh-huh. All right, here's what we got.
Red-orange, for sure.
Here's another coin email. I don't even think I can read this one in an edited form.
Okay.
Wait, let me do it, though. Listen to this. I caught the end of coin early this morning, and I witnessed blank... I witnessed blank giving Sarah the, I'd pay 2 weeks' salary for a shot at that look. He is on the hunt and Sarah is his prey.
Oh, man.
I mean, we know we were shot at that. All right, here's the thing. We got to play the Scotty J stuff. We got to do the City Desk.
And we got to play the Chris Burke.
It's Chris Burke. And we have to do the Rolling Stones countdown, which we could bump and all that. And then you don't have anything. You don't have anything else to contribute.
Fine, see ya.
What are you going to do? You've reviewed your one film.
You want to talk about AI a little bit?
3 months ago.
I think I'd like to talk about Mother's Day, maybe perhaps some Mother's Day films. Or films about mom like we did on our podcast at filmfeverradio.com.
Okay, only if you do a lengthy thing about throw mama from the train.
That's right.
And stop or my mom will shoot.
Yes, or serial mom.
Yeah, seriously. And up front on serial mom. I'm a big fan of that.
I know you are.
You're both out of here, Film Fever Radio this week.
We have to break now, though.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to break now. We'll come back with Tim Riley.
No, we'll come back with Chris Burke. And then Tim Riley.
Come back with Chris Burke.
With Corky Thatcher.
Then Fatty Arbuckle, then Tim Riley, then Scotty J, then Scotty D. It's 503-733-2-9. This is not Chris Burke. I want to hear Chris Burke singing everything now.
Corky rocks, man.
So hold on.
You're in for a treat.
All right.
I've heard this song.
Okay.
503-733-2970.
You stay there. We're going to be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Hey, do you enjoy? I got some pizza with sausage and pepperoni. You bet. Now listen, guys, we have to start eating healthy.
But we like pizza.
We like pizza.
Listen up. Now I've been told you've got to eat nutritious.
He sounds pretty good.
Either by the bunch or something that's delicious.
Oh.
Chew a chewing gum, lick a stick.
This guy sounds
delicious.
Okay.
That makes eating fun.
But if that's all I had
to eat. Oh, she had a pretty singing voice.
I have a tummy ache, I have no teeth.
So once in a while, I eat veggies and meat.
That's when eating gets serious.
Eating is fun, eating is serious. Eat too much, you're gonna get delirious. Eat too little, you're gonna disappear. Yes. Eating is so, so serious.
Eating is so much fun.
You sure Corky's in the room?
Now I like
the guest star. That you
can play featuring Corky. When I play
with food, there he is. Makes Bubba crazy. Feed my dinner to the dog. Dog food to the baby. That makes any fun. But my mama says, wasting food's a crime.
So many people hungry most of the time. So if they don't have spinach, I'm a set of mine. That's when I get serious. All right. Here, who do you suppose the other guy is, and how do you think they broke the news to him that he was going to be the one singing with the retarded guy? You know, you're this guy, you're hoping to sing with Ray Charles, you're hoping to be on that, you know, you're going to be on that Sinatra Duets Volume 3. You're going to be singing the hooks on that new Dre record? No. No, you look at the studio booking schedule, and there you are. There you are singing on this with a guy who can't tie his own shoes.
Corky can tie his shoes.
Have you seen him do it?
I think he did it on the show once.
Okay. It was a very special episode. Corky ties his shoes.
Were they stunt hands? Sundays.
French fries. Pizza pie. Turkey thighs. Ham and rice.
Okay, this is making my brain hurt. Collard greens. At the city desk, it's Tim Riley.
I hate to interrupt that. Anyway, from higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Me, Tim Riley, reporting. That DJ from that hip-hop radio station in New York who threatened the children of a rival, well, he's been arrested. The police call this fellow, whose real name is Troy Terrain, who goes by the name DJ Star, down to headquarters in Lower Manhattan this afternoon and ordered him to surrender his pistol license and his weapon, a 9mm handgun, and he was arrested by detectives at that time.
This sort of thing never happened with Murray the K and Cousin Brucey.
No. Meanwhile, apparently the White House is preparing for President Bush's State of the Union address on immigration and...
Which no one will watch.
But what he's going to say is he plans to deploy 5,000 National Guard troops to the country's southwest borders to stem the flow of illegal immigrants. So we'll see that. And then they're going to build a fence, which is kind of spotty. It goes for like a couple of miles, then it skips a couple thousand, then it picks up for a few more feet.
Here's the thing. Fences only really work when there aren't big gaping holes in them. Look.
It kind of leaves out. You notice it does cover Arizona where people are complaining.
This is really where, yeah, they're only going to put the fence where people are likely to vote against Republicans.
Yes.
The rest of it is just sort of an imaginary fence. Sort of a virtual fence. Okay. There you go.
Well, let's talk about more pleasant things, shall we? Because it's Mother's Day this Sunday. Many moms and dads and kids across the country try to figure out the perfect gift for mom. Lifestyle expert Diane DeWitt says the family should plan to do something together. How about a treasure hunt?
Oh, can we get... Sorry, can you turn my...
If one of the clues was, say, mom, go to your jewelry box, however the child would maybe make a little verse or something, you can go to... like Sam's Club and get beautiful quality jewelry, 30% to 50% off.
Yes.
Department store prices.
I'm sure we're all going to do that.
That's nothing says I love you like discount jewelry. All right.
Now for the clergy watch.
Here's your clergy watch. Friday, the Rick Emerson Show. Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Because I got to have faith.
This comes to us from the Midwest, where everybody's honest and crime is unheard of. An Elgin pastor for 2 months regularly spanked a 13-year-old girl with a wooden stick to punish her for claiming she had been sexually abused by a relative. The clergyman has been charged with battery. The Reverend Daryl P. Bujak allegedly spanked the girl during weekly counseling sessions at his First Missionary Baptist Church because he thought she was lying about being abused. The girl's parents first took her to the 30-year-old man of the cloth in March of 2005 because they doubted her claims that she was molested by a family member. The girl was clothed during the spankings, but suffered bruises and welts to her legs and buttocks. Charges of predatory criminal assault were filed this year by the county against the relative of the girl. The pastor who surrendered last Wednesday to police and was released after posting $500 cash bail couldn't be released for comment on this battery.
All right, so there you go. I love how some things change over time, but the beating of children with a wooden spoon, it's always the spoon they go to. It's always the spoon or the yardstick. the ladle of the belt. That's sort of the holy quadrilogy there of the being beaten by a clergyman. There you go. There's your clergy watch.
Cause I gotta have faith.
Now listen. Listen to the impact, effect, and influence that this program has on even the holiest among us. Todd the Corpse, who, as you know, is sort of a churchy la femme, who I believe actually teaches Sunday school.
Oh, okay.
I believe he actually goes and he tries to mold young people in the holy touch and loving caress and warm, sweet, tender kisses of the Lord. Listen to his email here. Rick. Can we get a tard off between Corky and the kids of Whitney High? There are children out there taught by this man every Sunday in the ways of holiness. This man who is now asking that this program engage in something called a tard off. So, just so you know, that's, there you go. That's one to grow on. Here's Tim Riley.
A fifth person has been arrested and charged with organized criminal activity and aggravated assault over a series of Fight Club-like DVDs being sold on the Internet. Police arrested 19-year-old Fallowin Awayo of Tyler, Texas yesterday, being held on $25,000 bail. Four people, including one juvenile, have also been charged. A superintendent of schools, Dr. Mac Burns, says school officials are dealing with this situation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's number dealing two. With the...
We're certainly looking at it hard with our Code of Conduct Committee. We've allowed them to this point, but I don't know if we of the older generation have any idea of the power of these things to create problems, especially in a setting where you've got a lot of adolescents together.
The power of what things?
I don't know.
None of us are listening to the news. We're all just automatons, just reading it, not digesting or processing.
Well, the DVDs contain scenes of fights in several streets, parking lots, and other public areas. In the Texas town of Arlington, one fight showed a 16-year-old teen so severely injured in the fight that he had to be hospitalized. Investigators alleged the fights on the DVD were staged, and after, apparently they got paid by an Arlington game called PAC, Play Us After Cash. The superintendent says not all the fights have taken place at school.
Well, it's certainly a disturbing trend. I watched an entire video. Actually, what's happening is these things are being produced and sold. And actually, the majority of the fights that I've seen occurred off campus.
Okay, there you go.
It was just a little boom thing.
All right. Okay. 503-733-2970. Are we? Let's do.
You scared Tim off.
I'm sorry. No, I played this and Tim ran away.
It was just a little boom thing.
No, we had people asking. That was requested. We had people request that from yesterday.
Well, that's good.
All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. investigating U.S. Representative Patrick Kennedy's early morning car wreck have been told by witnesses that the Rhode Island congressman was at the Capitol Hill bar before the crash. A source close to the probe said witnesses have told detectives that Kennedy was at the Hawk and Dove before he slammed his Ford Mustang into a security barrier
if
in
you
the
were
U.S. Capitol.
A Kennedy who was going to be driving somewhere, why would you drink? If you were a Kennedy, period, why would you ever drink in public? You know what I mean? That's more of that. Wouldn't you just pay someone to bring the booze and whores to your house? Why would you? That's like that time I saw Pete Rose in Vegas. You know what I mean? It's like, why? Why would you do that? If you were, we live in the age of glorious, wonderful, golden technology. Gamble at home, Pete. You know what I mean? It's like R. Kelly hanging out at the schoolyard. Just stay at home and surf the internet like everybody else. You know what I mean? I don't understand. Why, if your last name was Kennedy and you were a politician, you would allow anybody to see you drinking in public? Just have them lay a pipe from the brewery right to your kitchen. It seems like it's going to solve all your PR problems.
At least he didn't drive to the Wells Fargo.
No.
The Herald reported last week that a Hawk and Dove waitress said the 38-year-old politician was a frequent customer and was drinking in the bar before the May 4th crash.
We couldn't have figured that out ourselves.
He denied he was drinking, blaming the problem on prescription painkillers and sleeping pills. Since then, he checked into a Minnesota rehab. A Kennedy spokesman declined comment because they're used to doing that with all the Kennedys. Capitol Police spokesman also refused to comment, citing the ongoing probe.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley there at the City Desk.
Oh, all thank right. you very much.
503-733-2970. We're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com.
And
where
speaking of Scott's?
Long time ago, they used to review films. I have this.
You can eat it. That's all I got
to
say.
No. I'm just...
He wants you to eat something.
Hey, no. Keep talking about me eating and consuming things. And all right, so let me see. Hold on. I got a couple things here. What the hell? All right, here we go. So I got, this is from Scotty J. What?
Oh, no, keep going. I was just saying.
You're doing like a weird finger thing.
I know, we don't need the big monologue, but because we're running out of time.
I can just leave and you can do the show.
I have plenty of things to play over here.
All right. I'm just, no, we're not going to get to the top five, but we will get to this. So last week, Scotty J, who was our intrepid intern, he decided that he was going to do this man on the street thing. And I forget, I guess it's because we had been talking about McDonald's. And whether or not the kids remembered the McDonald's characters or whether they were still familiar to the kids of today.
Did you hear they're full-on taking away Happy Meals?
No, really?
I heard a rumor that they are, yeah.
Oh, my son will be so disappointed.
All right.
He loves Happy Meals.
So this is him last week. This is him attempting to answer the question of, are the kids familiar with McDonald's characters? This is intern Scotty J.
Scotty J reporting, Rick kicked me to the curb in the blazing sun to get the Emerson beat from the street. We are going to get to the bottom of this burning question.
You too, buddy.
Note to self, wait for walk sign. Oh, here's a guy that might have the answer. Excuse me, sir. Do you mind if I ask a couple of quick questions? Sure. Okay. We're doing a survey here. Have you heard of a restaurant called McDonald's?
Yes.
Don't eat the microphone, kid. This is not a chicken McNugget.
Okay.
What do you think about McDonald's?
I don't know.
Do you like it?
Kind of.
So you're a real McDonald's connoisseur?
I don't know. What's a connoisseur?
Surely you've heard of people flushing their alligators down the toilet, and then they grow up to be big and strong, feeding on the pipes under suburbia?
Kind of.
You're an alligator when it comes to McDonald's, right?
Sure.
Okay, that's not the real question. I need you to name 10 out of the 8 McDonald's characters for me.
Ronald McDonald? I don't know. I don't remember the name.
Clearly not the answer I'm looking for. What do you think of Rick Emerson?
I don't know.
Who's your favorite radio disc jockey?
Ronald McDonald.
Do you know who Rick Emerson is?
I don't know.
How old are you, sir?
7.
All I can say is get your college education. I mean, look what it did for me. Now beat it, kid. I dug a little deeper, and here's the real McDonald's cast of characters. Ronald McDonald, Hamburglar, Grimace, Birdie, Sunday, Tika, Chicken McNuggets, and, of course, the Fry Kids. So there you go. 1 out of 1 kid does not know the good folks over there at McDonald's Land. Scotty J with the Emerson beat from the street.
Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
I forgot how brilliant that was.
I want to hear the new one.
And there's no fry guy called Tiga, by the way. Tiga's the girl who offers to get your name on a grain of rice at Lloyd Center.
And weren't they fry guys?
I don't know. All right, that's so here, let's see, where is the new one? So we've got the new, this is apparently, oh, God, there's an introduction to this.
Can't wait to hear this.
Oh, he gave me, I haven't heard it, but there's actually a little introductory piece. Here we go.
Rick, I realize this might be backward momentum in your ever-so-forward-moving show with new topics and subjects. However, interns, man-waiters, man-panties, and secretaries across America have united. We must take a stand when it comes to fetching coffee. Straight from the Intern 101 Handbook, Rick, I present the Emerson Intern Rebuttal, appropriately titled, Stand Your Coffee Ground! There we go. This is Scotty J, kids.
And now, episode 1 of the Emerson
Intern Rebuttal.
Straight out of the Intern 101 Handbook, Stand Your Coffee Ground.
It's the Rick Emerson Show.
What is wrong with me?
Where is my head? I realize that I sound mental. I don't even know what I'm doing.
What is your major malfunction, numbnut?
Wait, no. Let's stop and assess. Who am I? Why am I here? I have this real problem, though, with the intern, with Scotty J, where I know that, like, interns typically, like, you tell them to go make him coffee and get him breakfast. And there was this moment this morning. Anyway.
Bring me a seltzer.
No coffee
really
made.
You sound like little bitches sometimes.
Holy Jesus. What is that? What the f*** is that? What is that private pile?
Sir!
Coffee.
Sir!
I walk in the door, and it's got to be ready. It's got to be there. There's no screwing around. So I was running late this morning, no coffee, and I opened my mouth, actually, to say...
Sir, jelly donuts, sir!
Scotty, I need you to go get me some coffee.
Yeah, that's my message for you. F*** you, and kiss my ass. And if you don't like that, baby, I go across the street and... There's the door!
No one else has these problems. Do you think it would make Scotty happy if I ordered him to get me coffee?
Yeah.
Let's find out. Scotty!
Scotty's eager to please.
Scotty. You have to come into the studio when you get a chance. Oh, clearly he doesn't know where his priorities lay.
Scotty.
Okay, it's now 20 seconds since I asked him to come get me coffee. Nothing has happened.
My engineer
sir. You'll have it within the hour.
My whole show is grinding to a halt.
Oh, here he is.
Oh, and he brings
thank
the whole
you,
thermos. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh!
Put that coffee
wait,
down.
Hold on. Listen to this. Listen. Sounds like my asthmatic Aunt Mary.
Now, do you think Scotty was ballsy enough to do that?
Well, the equipment's guaranteed, but I have my doubts about the stuff inside.
Coffee's for closers only.
I feel like I've...
That's fantastic.
Hearing that is like hearing 15 different promos. It's like all condensed. You know what I mean? It's sort of like a... It's sort of like a power bar of promos.
Oh, he made you sound like a nutcase.
And he,
I'm the one who's a nutcase. He's shoving his microphone in the face of 3-year-olds.
And he had the wherewithal to include Glengarry Glen Ross.
Beautiful.
Kudos, Scotty.
So there you go. That's sort of there you go. We had to have him tested for things. Like ADD. All right, there you go. I have no way to top that. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Coming up, like us, the 3 world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. We'll wrap it up after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. By the way, I'll take this opportunity to pimp band you should check out tonight, Pillars of Nine, who are playing tonight at the New Paris Theater. 6 Southwest 3rd Avenue, doors open at 7, tickets $8 at the door, etc., etc. Our good friend. And you gotta love a band whose drummer is called Ash. So go see those guys tonight. Pillars of Nine, New Paris Theater, 6 Southwest 3rd, doors open at 7. Tim Riley, do we have late breaking news?
We do. Now the cops believe a pickup truck plunged from the top deck of the Markham Bridge into the Willamette River overnight. Now this all started this morning when somebody saw a mysterious oil spill, and they figured, well, maybe somebody fell off the bridge.
In Markham.
Yeah. So now they're going to argue who's going to find whatever vehicle this is or whoever it is in there. So who's going to pay for this? But they already drowned.
Oh. I was going to say, what's the rush, though, at this point?
Call AAA.
On that note, kids, we're going to thank Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Episode is now up.
Episode number 6 is now up. It's full glory. It's a damn fine episode. If I do say so, my damn self.
Okay.
Good stuff. FilmFeverRadio.com.
Okay.
You can download it. Subscribe to it in your iTunes player. And
okay.
Download every time there's a new episode.
Great. Thank
you. FilmFeverRadio.com.
Thank you. We're going to have CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Also CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. News director Tim Riley and man in charge of all things technical, buzzy, and worry, as well as all things that go beep, is Sean Couples. And what?
And thanks, Scotty J.
And thank you to Scotty J as well. Sorry about that. Thank you to Scotty J as well. Insert weird arbitrary sound effect here. The Rick Emerson Show will come again Monday at noon. So, as always, have a safe weekend. Thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Like us at 3 World Famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. See y'all. Have a good weekend. Bye.
FilmFeverRadio.com.
Come on!
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.